While the Toronto Maple Leafs have been eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs, our lone hope here in the city's sports scene rests with the 16-19 Toronto Blue Jays, who lose 2 of 3 over the weekend to the Washington Nationals. Alek Manoah gets battered in the fifth inning in his return to the major leagues. A day off yesterday, and the Jays start a series against the hottest team in Major League Baseball, a team that has won 9 of its last 10 in the Philadelphia Phillies, who are first in the NL East. Should be a recipe for success. Let's welcome back to the show, little brief hiatus during the Maple Leafs playoff run, our good friend from ESPN. It's Buster Olney. Hey, Buster.
My condolences to you guys. It says something about my relationship with you that as I'm watching that series play out and Game 7 play out, that my first thoughts were to you guys. You know, I talk to you every week, and I'm like, oh, man, what a bummer.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a story in baseball, Buster, where a team every year loses the exact same way in the playoffs?
Well, first off, in baseball, for sure, because it was the Red Sox for 86 years, but me as a Vikings fan, okay, I can directly relate to everything that you're feeling. Because even if it starts to go well in the back of your mind, you're just anticipating at some point it's going to go badly, right? You just think for sure that it's going to go wrong. We were talking to Rob Thompson, the Phillies manager, the other day before the Sunday night game. And he said that the whole time, once he was, you know, when the Leafs took the lead, he was like, oh, okay, maybe we got something. And he said from the moment that the Bruins tied the score, he's like, yeah, we're going to lose.
That's the mentality of Maple Leaf fans. And generally speaking, they're right. With Blue Jays fans, it's not exactly the most bright and optimistic tone either right now. And there has been some conversation amongst baseball media about the futures of guys like Atkins and John Schneider, if this continues to go the way it has. What's your read on how Blue Jays management is feeling about what's going on right now?
Yeah, and look, I have not talked to John Schneider, so I'm just going to be, you know, doing this from afar. But last week, when he started to speak with more urgency about, you know, enough, where he essentially was tamping down the talk of, well, you know, we'll figure it out, or we'll eventually get there. And all of a sudden, the quotes coming from John were much more like, no, enough of that, right? No, we got to get it done now. And he changes the lineup, and he moves Bichette down. You know, he puts Vladdy in a different spot. You could feel that. And I mean, the reality is that all of them have a lot at stake right now. This is the time. This is the theoretical window. And what we're seeing early this season is, essentially more the same of what we saw at the end of last season. So you can understand when John started to ratchet that up last week that reflected, you know, probably at this point a larger anxiety that exists within the organization, because everybody knows what's at stake. Everybody knows what they're seeing. And now it's, you know, it's up to the players and up to the staff to react to that. And it's ugly right now. And you mentioned, you know, the Phillies, look, they're not only the hottest team in baseball, they're the best team in baseball. You know, wow. I spent a few days around them, and they are rolling, and they are a deep team. They have an excellent rotation. They have that deep lineup, even without Trey Turner, who's out for 6 weeks after straining his hamstring the other day. They have an excellent bullpen. They got an excellent esprit de corps and a clubhouse culture. That, to me, you know, we can talk about the Dodgers being a great offense and the Braves being a great team. Phillies right now are the best team in baseball. That is not a good team for them to catch at this moment.
Wow, just what the Blue Jays need. Another series where they're probably not going to score many runs. Buster, it's been frustrating as a fan of this team to watch the carryover from last season and the struggle on offense. How much more patient should Blue Jays fans be, and when do you expect something to happen with this Blue Jays team, whether it's the change of a pitching or a hitting coach, whether it's, you know, bringing in a guy that can be a spark to your offensive lineup? I mean, we're this time of year, we're not used to seeing trades in baseball.
Arise was traded, right?
We just saw Arise get traded to the Padres. So how much longer should Blue Jays fans wait?
I think that the Arise trade was a great example of a team looking at a month's worth of sample size, 20% of the season is in the books, and saying, you know what, this is not working and we're going to go forward. And for the Blue Jays, let's face it, the reality is it's a year and a month. You know,
yep.
it's essentially the same group. And, you know, I was going to give you guys some insight in it. You know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, I work with a terrific researcher named Paul Imbakides. He was on my podcast last week, and he talked about Vladdy's struggles at the bottom half of the zone. Okay, typically when you guys think about hitters and, you know, their ups and their downs, you can focus on one part of the, you know, one pitch that is confounding them, or one part of the zone, low and away. With Vladdy, what's been striking is that he has really struggled on anything in the lower half of the strike zone. The whole bottom half, if you're an opposing pitcher, you aim at that, you're going to have a good chance for success. Think about these numbers this year on pitches in the lowest half of the strike zone against Vladdy. He's batting 196 with a 315 slugging percentage, okay? A 282 on base percentage. Those are scary numbers. Because that means that essentially if you are an opposing team, you're coming in and you're game planning against Vladdy, and he's doing that poorly, you're just going to keep going to the well over and over and over again. So, you know, whether it's Vladdy making an adjustment or the front office making an adjustment and go out and making an aggressive trade, which at this time of year typically costs, you know, retail plus 10%, they can be really expensive the way the Arise trade was for the Padres the other day. I do think you need to do something. That's why it really jumped out to me how aggressive John Schneider's words were, that they all sort of understand now they are moving toward the end of the plank. You know, they are right getting close to the precipice, which is why, you know, if you see what's going on with Vladdy, you see what's going on with the lineup, you see what's going on with Alek Manoah, at this point it's who's going to help us win today? And forget all the niceties and just do what you can to win today's game. Everything you can to win today's game, because they got to turn it around.
And quickly, and very quickly, because if they don't, they could very well be sellers ahead of the deadline. And they've got some attractive pieces, guys like Yusei Kikuchi, Danny Jansen, Jimmy Garcia has been great, and those guys would draw a lot of interest around Major League.
It's not crazy. At some point, that becomes a reality. You know,
yeah.
Hembo, Paul Imbakides, the researcher I mentioned, you know, he said during spring training, and I poo-pooed him. I was like, no, I don't think so. He's like, you know who could be out on the market in midsummer would be Bo Bichette, who would make a lot of sense for the Dodgers. They need a shortstop, a long-term, you know, Mookie's playing well there now. They need a long-term solution. But look, the Blue Jays are 7.5 games out of first place already. It's clear the Orioles are the best team in the American League. The Yankees are a really good team. And you know, to your point, Aaron, they got to turn that around now. To John Schneider's point, it's got to be now that they get this turnaround.
ESPN's Buster Olney is our guest. You mentioned the Dodgers. They have a guy who's pretty good at hitting. His name's Shohei Ohtani, who destroyed another ball last night. His 11th home run. He has 4 homers in his last 3 games. Becomes the first big leaguer to reach 11 home runs this season. I mean, Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and pretty formidable top of the order for the L.A. Dodgers. And if Bo Bichette goes there, I'm not sure I can watch baseball anymore. Although Bichette's been terrible to start this season. We know what his track record is. But as far as Ohtani goes, I mean, I guess he's just living up to any and all expectations that the Dodgers had for him, Buster.
Well, he's exceeding them. And I gotta think that at some point, the evaluators in all these organizations who looked at Ohtani as a hitter when he was coming over here and were saying at that time, and the majority of evaluators saying, yeah, he's an okay offensive player, but he's never going to be great. Like he, you know, he's a guy who, yeah, he's a good hitter, but you know, he's got his limitations. Oh my God. I mean, was everybody so wrong? Now that he has his full focus on hitting, he's a strong candidate to win a triple crown.
Wow.
He's hitting 370. That's first in the majors. He has 11 home runs. That's first in the majors. He's 6th in RBI, not far behind the leader, Marcell Ozuna of the Braves. Guys, think about his numbers leading off innings this year. He's batting 579 with a 619 on base percentage and an OPS of 1263. You know, against right-handed pitching, he's got an OPS of 1310. It's ridiculous.
Jeez.
Video game numbers that he's putting up right now with how he's playing. And, boy, you know, he's got that sweet spot batting behind Mookie and in front of Freddie Freeman. And every day, what a nightmare for opposing pitchers.
If only Yusei Kikuchi's sushi party worked as an attraction to bring him here to Toronto. Apparently wasn't enough.
Oh, my goodness.
You finished with the word disaster. How much of a disaster was the Blue Jays' handling of Alek Manoah's return start to the majors? I mean, he got a lot of offensive help in that game. It's 6-1 going into the fourth inning. He's showing signs of struggles. He's at 90 pitches. And instead of letting him leave with a lead and feeling good about himself, they hang him out to dry in that inning. He gives up 5 runs, and he leaves the inning losing or trailing in that inning instead of leaving with the lead and coming out with a lot of positive mojo. Did you agree with the way they handled his first start back in the majors?
Look, I at this point, I'm kind of torn on how the Blue Jays should handle him, right? Because it feels like that since this whole thing began to pop up last year, they've been really polite, and they've been, you know, when he didn't want to go to the minor leagues, and then like they didn't suspend him and they didn't restrict him, and they're kind of bringing him along slowly, and they didn't take him off the roster at any point. They're allowing him to build up service time, and I hear you. In that moment, it probably would have been you know, good for him if they had been nice about it, but at some point, he's in the big leagues, and you got to trust him, and you just need him to be mediocre. They don't even need him to be great at this point with the quality of their rotation. They just need him to be just average, and he wasn't. And so, yes, I agree with you. There are ways that they could have handled that differently, but at some point, if Manoah's going to help them, they got to find that out. Like, they got to throw him into the deep end of the pool and not worry about niceties and see if he can sink or swim. And that felt like a case the other day. He was in a good position, and he's just got to perform better. And if he's not going to, they got to look for an alternative.
And just to respond to what Carlos said about the Blue Jays' handling of Manoah and when he was pulled, the Blue Jays' bullpen is absolutely dreadful right now. So the idea of pulling him for any one of those guys in the bullpen doesn't exactly seem too appetizing either. So there's a lot of problems with Toronto right now. The bullpen is at the top of the list. Manoah, I mean, he's their fifth starter. I don't think there's a lot of expectations that he's going to be doing much for them anytime soon. So it's just ugly all around. And fortunately for the Jays, they get a matchup against the hottest team in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies, tonight. But at least they do have Jose Berríos on the hill. Buster, great to have you back. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
All right, guys. Hang in there. Always fun to talk with you.
Likewise. That's ESPN's Buster Olney. Those Ohtani stats. Like, you have Betts and Ohtani on your team. It's unfair. These guys are unreal. Unreal this season. Just tearing the cover off the ball. Much like you at Hamilton Golf and Country Club on 18 yesterday. Just a bomb off the tee.
Yeah, and my 5-iron into the green, too.
It's true.
I had two sweet shots on 18.
If only we played from the red tees like James Duthie. We would have shot in the 60s. Jimmy Red Tees. He'll join us on Thursday.
Jimmy Red Tees.
Bob Wischusen.
He's not a big fan of us continuing to carve his golf
game. No, it's true. And you know the next time we play with him, he won't miss a fairway. He'll shoot like 71. That's how it works with James Duthie. So, we'll talk to Bob Wischusen, who was on the call last night for the Panthers and the Bruins. A surprising result that saw Boston pick up a 5-1 win over the Florida Panthers. On the other side, AK the Mentalist will return. And I'm going to tell you who I think the next head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs will be. That's next.